So a question I want to put in your head as we start this morning is, have you ever had something that you hoped for that didn't turn out like you wanted, or that you thought would turn out some way and didn't quite pan out that way? And just kind of on a funnier, lighter note, in college, this happened to me. And so I was a freshman at A&M. I was living in the dorms. And in the midst of that, we were in a co-ed dorm. There was laundry rooms on the hall, but our hall was mostly guys, or like our floor was mostly guys. So it stunk at times. It was loud at times, like all of that. But the worst part about living on that floor for me was doing laundry, because it was like guys would put clothes in the washing machines and then they would just leave them. Or they would put them in the dryer, and then they would just leave them. And so it was hard, like the first couple weeks, doing laundry and finding one that was open. And when you did, it was like you took it, and then you would probably have somebody's clothes in a dryer or whatever beforehand. And so I remember, as we were kind of going through that, my roommate and I were talking, like, man, why is this so hard to wash clothes? You know, like, what's the deal here? And so we were talking about it. He did it on a Friday one time, washed his clothes, put them in the dryer, and then left them in the dryer for like a couple hours. And he went to go get them, but he came back into our room and he goes, Michael, you will not believe this. I'm like, what? You know, what's going on? Like, did you find something in the washing machine? Well, he had gone, left his clothes in, and he'd come back and they were folded in his basket. And it was like, okay. And so I was like, man, I'm going to test this out. So I went immediately, grabbed all my clothes and threw it. And that Friday morning, I went, left them in the dryer and came back a couple hours later. They were folded in the basket. It was like, okay. And I never met the person who did this. Like, but from that point on, I washed clothes on Friday morning. And every time that happened, I would go leave them in the dryer for a couple hours. And then, like, I guess there was some, guy or girl, I don't know who, but somebody that was just stressed out, and that was their de-stress. And I was happy to de-stress them. Like, and really the first thought that I had when this happened to me, like, I don't know if you ever heard your mom say this, kids, you may have heard this at this point. Like, hey, those clothes aren't going to fold themselves. Well, they kind of did. I mean, you know, and it's like, this is funny. Anyways, this goes on for the entire fall semester, and then in the spring semester too, until spring break. So, I mean, a good like 5-6 months of someone else folding my clothes. I didn't know who they were, but it was just like magically what happened. You just went in and boom, they were in your laundry hamper, all like folded nice and neat and all this stuff. It's like, this is pretty good. Well, then after spring break, it was like typical routine. Like, I had this expectation that it was just going to happen. And I remember how just like heartbroken and shocked that I was when I go back and like they weren't folded. It's like, oh, maybe they just didn't have enough time. Like, I'm going to leave them in there a little longer. And then a couple hours later, I come back in and now they're piled up in a basket on the floor. And it's just like, ah, this is just not going to happen today, I guess. Like, well, maybe they were sick or visiting somebody, whatever. I'll try it again next week. Did that like 3 or 4 more times and then started trying different days and it never happened again. It's like, did he or she finally get mad because our clothes were stinking, or like what happened? Did they move away? Like, and so then I'm trying to like figure out who this person was, because I at least want to like thank them, but I didn't know, who it was. And anyway, so in the midst of this process, like this just did not turn out and pan out like I wanted it to. Like, I thought, man, this is a great deal. And I was even going to, like, talk to them about how we could arrange this for the next year, you know, maybe pay them or whatever it would take. But I never did that. And really, that moment when I saw that, it's silly, but, like, it was felt like the rug had just been ripped out from underneath me. It was like, what just happened? Like, how did that happen? And I think maybe, I mean, I made the joke earlier about 20s and thinking the year 2020. I just don't have a concept for 1920, which most of you don't either, but it's just not something I was connected to. And so when I heard the 20s for the first time, it was like, man, the 2020s, that's not too great. Because honestly, if we're being honest, it probably feels like for most of you, the rug's been just ripped out from underneath you. And in the midst of this season, it's like, man, the hope that I had, that I hoped in something, maybe that's been pulled out from underneath you. Maybe it's from a job that you've lost, or a family member that you've lost, or something else that you've lost because of this season or because of something that's happened. And I realize COVID is not the only thing that's happened. Like, there's a lot of families that had struggles and issues. There's a lot of other things that happened that weren't necessarily even COVID-related, but maybe you've been at a time where you felt like this rug has just been ripped out from underneath you. And so the question I would ask, and the question in that I would say is, where's your hope? Where's your hope? I think when we look in the midst of a season where we felt like the rug has been ripped out from underneath us, just go back to that question, where is your hope? And like I said, man, this message this morning, I needed this week as well. And if you're a Christ follower, your question or the answer to that question may have something to do with God or Jesus or something like that, and that's all good. How much have you trusted that? If you're not a Christ follower, maybe that's the reason you're here this morning. Because you're in a season where the rug's been ripped out from underneath you. The clothes weren't folded when you went back to check on them, and you're going, man, what is going on here? What can I hope in? Because I put my hope in something that seemed to fail. There's really only one thing that we can put our hope in that's not going to fail. We'll talk about that. But what does hope look like and how do we find it? That's the first question. And really, that's the question I want to spend answering this morning. What is hope? What does it look like and how do we find it? I found a definition this week that I really loved. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised and its strength is in his faithfulness. So what does hope look like? How do we find it? Hope is confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. Like, hope is something that's based on confident expectation. It's something that's trustworthy and reliable. And we can have hope in things that seem reliable, but at some point, if the rug gets pulled out from underneath us, if the clothes aren't folded when we go back to them, then we realize, man, this really wasn't something that was truly reliable. A lot of times we can lose hope, and that's why we can lose hope in things around us, because we trust in things that are not reliable, like our own abilities or jobs or relationships or certain things. And those things are changing and not really reliable. What we get in Psalm 20 gives us a great answer on what it looks like to hope in and what hope looks like and how we find it. And so we're going to be there this morning. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 20. And it's in the middle of your Bible if you're turning there. If you need one, you can find it at the Welcome Center. But in order to kind of understand this psalm that we're going to read, you got to understand a little bit about what's happening. And so this is the nation of Israel, the King David. Their King David is in distress because one of the surrounding nations is going to attack them or has attacked them. They know this, they understand this, and so at this point, they know this is coming, and this is what we see in verse 1 of Psalm 20. Read that, or we're going to read that. Verse 1, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of God, or the God of Jacob, protect you. So what do we see from that verse? What's going on here in this moment? Well, King David and his nation are in a hard spot. And historically speaking, the nation of Israel wasn't really this like military power that people would have feared and been scared of, because they just had like all of these tools and equipment, and they had these big strong dudes. Like, they didn't have like the Navy SEALs or anything like that. Like, they weren't really that demeaning. And so what happened a lot at the nation of Israel is we see that they trusted in God a lot. They depended on God a lot. And this is what we see in our fourth God mark. God marks is something we created. It's a plan that we have for personal growth, and it's really an intentional spot that we believe if you're going to grow, then these things are kind of the plan. And so our fourth God mark is depending on God and everything, and that's what we see in this. But I love what happens first. Like, before anything else happens, before anything else goes around, they know that this is coming or this has happened, and what is the initial thing that happens? May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of God, of the God of Jacob, protect you. Immediately, what they're doing is reaching out to God. And so in the midst of the season, maybe if you feel like the hope has been lost, the clothes weren't folded, what have you gone, or have you gone to God in prayer about it? In the midst of the season, have you looked for a response from God? And what we see about them and what we see about this first verse is they're recognizing something coming to God. When King David is coming to God, this nation of Israel is coming to God, they realize that they are not in control here. Like, again, they say, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. They're in distress, and so they're asking God to answer them. Why? Because they've run out of ways to solve this, that they can't handle this. May the God of Jacob protect you. And so what they're realizing right off the bat is that God is in control. And so in distress, rely on God in distress because he is in control. It's the first thing we see. And honestly, if we're going to find true hope, then you have to start here. And so in the midst of your season, are you going to God humbly, realizing that you don't have control or hope without God working? Like, this is the first thing that happens. We see them relying on God in distress because they realize that he's in control. But then the prayer continues in verse 2. Verse 2 through 4, may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. What's going on here in these three verses? Well, there's a lot of imagery used that I think we need to unpack. But essentially, they're asking for three things here. They're asking for God's presence, God's favor, and victory in battle, ultimately. Like, this is where they're going. And in those days, God's presence was literally in the temple. It was literally on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And so that's what they're saying here is your support from Zion. But they're realizing God's presence was there because the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. The Holy Spirit wasn't living inside of Christ followers. And so God's presence was in the temple in Zion. Kind of a weird thing to think about, but just know that that's what was happening there. But he says, may, in verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary. So what they're recognizing is though God's presence is in Zion, in the temple in Jerusalem, God's power still reigns over all of creation. And so they're recognizing that God, God's presence with them, God's power is able to work in their time of need. And so if we're going to find hope and really define what hope is, you got to find hope in God's presence. First, find hope in God's presence. And if you want hope, you've got to include God in it. And that's a good point, but it's like, okay, how do I do that? What does that look like? I think for me, my prayer, my perspective of prayer really changed when I was in college, and it was something that I just realized, being connected with God throughout the day, being connected with God through continuous conversation is something that was good for me. It was something that gave me hope that his presence, just to know that I had someone there to talk to. Otherwise, I'd just be talking to myself. But to know that I had someone there to talk to, like this point was really comforting to me. And if that's where you're at, if you would say, man, I don't really know how to find God's presence, what does that look like? Start by doing this. Just start by praying and in routine times of your day. Maybe start when you're driving or when you're putting makeup on or when you're drinking coffee in the morning, whatever the case may be. Regular things that you do each day, start using those times to pray. What do you pray about? Whatever comes to mind. Whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're worried about, whatever you're happy about, whatever you're interested in. And then also, when you get an interesting or funny thought throughout the day, go to God in prayer, or when you think of people. So use those three things. When you're doing things kind of in routine or in rhythm, when you think a thought that's interesting or funny, or when you think of people, begin to start conversation with God. And I think you'll realize, man, there's presence there, and in God's presence you can find hope. And then in verse 3, he moves on. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. In this society, in Jerusalem, and really in the nation of Israel, and kind of the covenant that they had with God at that point, it was all about sacrifices. And there were multiple sacrifices that they would do. They would sacrifice animals for sin. But this would have been a time where they had to make a big decision. And they were asking for God's just presence and favor in it. And so at that point, they would make this sacrifice. They would make this offering. And through that, they were recognizing that God was in control. They were asking for God's favor. But it was also an act of showing their devotion or submission to God. And so in the midst of this, look for God's presence, but then also find hope by submitting to God's lead. This is what they're doing. In the midst of this, and they're coming to God in verse 1, going, God, we don't know what to do here. We need your power. We need your protection. We need your presence. And God, we're submitting to you. And so what has that looked like for you in this season? If you're struggling to find hope, have you been submitted and devoted to who God is? Have you sought out his presence? Have you done these things? Because in the midst of that, that's where we will find hope. And your division, or your devotion, not division, your devotion and submission to God come out of the belief and respect that God has control over everything and he has what's best for you in mind. It's the confident expectation that God's going to move, and its strength is based on his reliability. And then finally in verse 4, they ask for victory. But what do you see in verse 4 that's interesting? May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. This is kind of an interesting thing to ask. May God give you the desire of your heart and all the things to succeed. Remember what's happened in verse 3 is they've submitted themselves to God's control. And so when they're asking for something out of God's submission. And so it's good because what they're asking for is out of respecting God's authority. And so you find hope by making your plans based on God's plans. And so in the midst of the season, are you aligning your heart with him? And then the prayer shifts a bit as this continues. And it's kind of an interesting verse in verse 5. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. And this is before the battle's taken place. This is before they actually have victory. They're declaring it. I think this is interesting. It's something that we need to just look at. But and really what they're showing through this and what we're seeing through this is that their hope is based on this confident expectation. They're not in any way saying that they have control to claim anything for God. And I think this is something we've seen in our culture. It's something that I've seen with Christ followers is claiming victory over certain things. That's not this verse is not giving us license to do that. Rather, this is saying and talking about this season being confident and putting faith and trust in God for him to move. So the question I have really to get to you to where this is going is in this season, are you encouraged or discouraged? In this season, are you encouraged or discouraged? Remember, we're talking about hope, and if hope's been pulled out of the rug, are you encouraged or discouraged? And I'm telling you that not to say that you should just be happy-go-lucky all the time in this. But the answer to that question will tell me and tell you where your hope is. Because even in the midst of battle, remember, this is not just like a happy-go-lucky time for this the nation of Israel. Like there's another country around them who have more firepower, more authority, and more kind of fear amongst them to do something to the Israelites. Like this is not just a happy season. But in the midst of it, they're encouraged. Why? Not because of anything that they can do, but because of who God is and their confident expectation of what he can do. And then I love the next part. This is my favorite part of this whole psalm. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now this I know. Now this I know. They're telling you why they have confident expectation, why they can say verse 5 that we're going to celebrate in Psalm 20, verse 6 is now this I know. And so in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of trying to find hope, in the midst of this impending battle, what do? They're reminded of who God is. They had confident expectation based on who he was. And so in the midst of this season, I would just love to ask you this question and tell you this. Focus on what you know to be true of God. I think that's been a struggle for me. Maybe a struggle for you, but if we're going to find hope and if we're going to focus on what we do know, if we're going to have this confident expectation in who God is and how he can move and what he can do, then we've got to focus on what we know. Now this I know. And if it's anything other than God, it won't last anything or any longer than me or any better than me hoping that laundry gets folded when I leave it in the dryer. Doesn't work at all now. I'll just tell you that. So what do they know? Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of the right hand. Again, they're acknowledging the power of God. He gives victory to his anointed. Those who have been put themselves under his control and his leadership. And then in verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to the knees and fall. We rise up and stand firm. Lord, give us victory to the king. Answer us when we call. And so they close this prayer out and round this prayer out by acknowledging who God is, but then also asking him for his presence again. But I want to go back to that verse 7. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What does that mean here? What does that say? This was kind of a way to talk about firepower in that time. If you had chariots and horses, if you had these things, then you would be able to conquer people quickly. You would be able to do things. And this was a way of kind of flexing strength. And so what they're saying is that some people trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Why is that a big deal? Because they've realized what they know, they've come to be true, is that chariots and horses are unreliable. And God is truly reliable. And so in the midst of this, what they're saying is, hey, you trust in these things that are not true. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Why is it a big deal? And why am I telling you this and kind of camping out on this? Like, it's almost kind of like they're looking at them like, that's a little bit silly for you to do that. They're not downcasting other people. They're just talking about what they know. But do you realize the things that we trust in daily? I went parasailing for the first time several years ago, and I remember going up, and it's like you get these increments every 200 feet to go up on the parasailing thing. And I'm not a fearful of heights. Like, I have a good fear of heights, but like, I'm not scared of them. I'll go up way up on stuff, but I'm just paying attention to like safety equipment and stuff when I'm doing that. So it's completely unlike me to just like jump into something and like take off and go. I'm gonna analyze it first. Well, we were parasailing and they were like, hey, you can go to up to 1,600 feet. It's like, all right, let's do that. And so we like check that and they're like, okay, come on, now it's your turn. And they're like moving you to the back of the boat and they clip you in and then boom, they hit it and it starts going up. And I'm looking at what I'm sitting on and it's like, why did I say yes to this? Like, what? I mean, it was like a 3-inch piece of like strap webbing that I'm sitting on. It's like, does this match the weight limit? I don't know, you know? And then literally what they clipped us into were two like D-loop carabiners with no safety lock. I'm like, I could just unclip myself up here. And it's not that I was going to. It's more of just like, can these things break? There's like no safety. I mean, they just clipped us in the rings and went up. And people do this all the time. It's like, man, if I ever do this again, I'm looking to see what's going on. Why? Because that was not something that I enjoyed. But what are you finding trust in? What are you finding hope in? And how sure of you, or how sure is that thing that you're trusting in? And for the nation of Israel, what they knew and what they realized was they trusted in God, and they knew they weren't in control, but God was. And so if you want to find hope, going back to that question, what is hope and how do you find it? Trust God and give him control because he's reliable and sure. Think about this when you're thinking about what am I hoping in right now? What am I finding hope in right now? Answer these two questions. What is something that gives me purpose or meaning? And what is one thing I couldn't lose right now? Probably a lot of those things and answers that are coming to your mind are good things. Let me be clear. They're good things that you... probably shouldn't want to lose. Like that's a good thing. But in the midst of that, really examine those things. Because if that is where your trust is in, and that is where your hope is in, and it's not God, then you're just waiting for the laundry to not be done when you come back to it. Why do I tell you this, and why do we talk about this morning? Like, I think as we transition and trust God in this transition, it's going to be hard. And as we move back, and like I said, I've struggled with this of going, man, how are you going to work? How are you going to continue to move in the midst of this change? We've got to put our hope and our confident expectation in who God is. And we've got to go back to, now this I know. And so I want to close with you this morning, man, as we think about moving, as we think about the transition, as you look at those cards on that back table and see what God's done here, what do you know about God, and are you believing it? Let me pray for you. God, we love you, and we trust you. And God, I pray just in the midst of this time, as we hear this message, we look at Psalm 20. There may be some of us this morning who feel like the rug's been pulled out from underneath us, the laundry wasn't done when we went back to it. And in the midst of that, we're just feeling hopeless. Yeah, maybe there's someone in here who doesn't have a relationship with you. And they're coming this morning wondering and thinking and asking, man, where do I find hope? And God, I pray that they would find it in you. Just ask questions and begin to trust and begin to try to reach out and answer some of these things. And God, I know that you'll show up in their lives in big ways. But God, be with us as we go about our week, as we continue to live our lives and do the things that we do. God, I pray that we wouldn't lose hope in how you are working here and how you're going to work through us. But God, that we would continue to be encouraged by your strength and your power. And that we wouldn't trust in chariots or horses. We wouldn't trust in our jobs or our relationships, our houses, or other things that we're involved in. That we would trust solely in your name. because that's where we'll find true hope. God, I pray that we find that. I pray that we're reminded of that this morning, that we find that this week. God, we love you and we trust you. In your name we pray, amen.